You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Following last week's major IT outage, which caused major disruptions for flights, banking and trading, questions were raised about whether cybersecurity should be concentrated in a few companies' hands. The power outage highlighted government's over-reliance on tech companies and concerns surrounding personal online information. I spoke with Gyan Gunasekara, an associate professor of commercial law from the University of Auckland, to discuss the legal and liability implications that come from last week's power outage. What is data sovereignty and how does it apply to New Zealand?
Oh, that's a very big question. Data sovereignty gets mentioned a lot, but we need to be very careful here because global commerce depends on information flowing across borders. And, you know, there are people who maintain that data sovereignty is keeping all our data in New Zealand, but that's simply not realistic in the 21st century because most companies are multinational companies. Most commerce is global. So data sovereignty really means, I guess, having some control over where our data is located and more to the point, what are the standards that apply to that data? In other words, can we be sure that our data is protected, even if it goes out of our country, basically?
Does this apply to New Zealand?
So data sovereignty, well, data sovereignty is really more an issue for the government because, you know, there is an issue that government data and important things that affect national security, that affect New Zealand's vital interests, vital economic interests, those kinds of data perhaps should be stored on shore or at least protected in ways that we can control and maintain some oversight as to what happens to it. But we are talking about private commerce, private business, your credit card, your internet transactions. It's very hard to see how we can have any kind of realistic data sovereignty, given that the platforms generally all operate from outside of New Zealand.
Do you then think that New Zealand is too reliant on big tech companies for their operations?
Yeah, well, this is the point. I think, unfortunately, a small economy like New Zealand really doesn't have a choice when it comes to the big tech providers. And it cuts both ways here because you can try and build up that capability locally in New Zealand. But the problem is that you're facing very, very big adversaries. So my understanding is that the CrowdStrike issue was a company that actually provided security. And it wasn't a hack. It wasn't hacked into or anything like that. It was just a technical breakdown due to some bad choices that they made with their programming. But the company was providing a service. And the service it was providing was secure transactions when people use payment mechanisms like their credit card. And that is a very vital part of the chain, of the data chain, because nowadays, you know, you have to pay for things when you do transactions, and that goes through the internet. And companies like CrowdStrike provide that type of security. Now, we could say, why can't we do it ourselves? And there might be smaller local players who could step in and try and offer competing services. But big international players have the economies of scale. They've got the intelligence networks that can monitor for threats, say, for example, from North Korea or other malicious actors. And these are very large threats we're dealing with. They're not the kind of threats that your local technology company is going to be able to handle. So it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you have little choice but to rely on these big international companies because they have the degree of international expertise, the threat assessment, which we would struggle to replicate in New Zealand. But on the other hand, once you're reliant on those overseas players, if their overseas player suffers some kind of breakdown as happened here, then I'm afraid it's going to catch a lot of people, not just in New Zealand, as you know, what happened.
Do you believe that there's laws that need to be set in place so that these big tech companies can't exploit New Zealand's data?
Well, I've written about this in my research. I mean, I think that our laws certainly do need to be tweaked. And for example, the Privacy Act is a little bit weak when it deals with certain types of data, like aggregated or anonymized data. The Privacy Act only applies to identifiable personal information. And so, you know, you're dealing with big data and big data sets of data, which is kind of not anyone's personal data, but it's all kind of analytical data compiled from personal information. Those things could, you know, they probably fall through some of the cracks in the Privacy Act, and I've argued for a tightening of that. But that said, we already have laws that govern situations like what happened in this recent technical breakdown, because consumers, for example, already have a Consumer Guarantees Act. If they're unable to do their banking or something like that, they have rights under the Consumer Guarantees Act. Banks in New Zealand have to comply with the Consumer Guarantees Act. You know, if they can't access money and it causes them loss, or they can't make a payment and as a result they have to pay a higher interest or something like that, those costs can be passed on back to the companies. Of course, the companies can then pass that cost back to CrowdStrike or whoever it is that they contracted with. They would have to rely on whatever indemnity clauses were in their commercial agreements. So really, this is for companies, it's a wake up call to say, make sure you read the fine print of your liability. What liability do you have to customers? On the other hand, what liability can you pass back to someone who you contract with, one of these big tech providers? Do they have an escape clause in their contracts for things like this? Obviously, insurance is a third leg of this. You know, big companies can take out insurance to protect themselves, but often insurance policies will only cover things like hacks and security breaches. But this was just the company making a mess up of its own software, so insurance companies probably don't cover that type of thing.
So, following on from that, do you think that CrowdStrike may need to pay the damages, or are they even capable of paying it?
Well, it's being talked about at the moment, so I don't know what they're going to be liable for in the end, but for sure there will be liability claims. And given it's a U.S. operator, I'm prepared to put money on the fact that there will be liability claims against it. So, you know, lawyers will be getting in on it and going through the contracts and the kind of escape clauses, if there are any, for various contingencies. But it just shows you that you need to be aware of risks and liabilities whenever you do business with these big operators. And the law is a critical component. And it's not, you know, you might put all your eggs in one basket and say, I'm just going to rely on the technology. But ultimately, the technology is still governed by legal obligations. And it's a law is something, you know, as I say, death and taxes, but you can't get away from law and you can't get away from legal liability.
And that was Gaan Gunasekara from the University of Auckland, speaking us to about the data sovereignty implications of the global IT outage.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.